Well, good morning and welcome to chapel this morning, particularly if you're new and visiting us. It's very nice to see you, and well done everybody for getting the hour right, although they'll be here in about an hour, won't they? Yeah, so we're just, anybody that just sneaks in, we won't make a fuss, we'll just let them come in. Always on time. Great to see Alan and Ben and Jackie with us again for this week. And Jackie was saying she's a mum many times over, with lots of new lambs have been delivered this last week again. My clicker's not working, so I can't be not that I'm slick anyway, but I can't operate the screen. I don't know why. I can do it from the back later. We're going to continue our journey in Matthew. We're in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 16 later. And today's title that Alan will be working with is God's Love and Faithfulness. We've a few colds about. There's a few people away. Jeff is back from his travels. He's been to Manchester, but he's not so well this morning. So we'll say a prayer for Jeff. And my two printers for the notices, which are Jeff or Mum or Angela, aren't here. So I haven't got a physical copy of the notices, but they are out electronically. You can sign up for them by email, and they'll be on the website later. A blessing, really, in that they're wrong, in that it's not communion today, as per the notices, so we'll get that amended. But the all-important prayer diary for the coming week is there. Just an advance notice, April's evening prayer meeting should be Wednesday the 5th, that's a week Wednesday, and we'll confirm next week. Finally, just one extra notice, thank you Linda, apparently it's Easter Songs of Praise. We don't think it's the BBC, so we can't get our fizzogs on the telly, but it's still going to be a big meeting at Appledore this afternoon, so it's Appledore Baptist Church at 3:30. And there's tea and cake, which is reason enough to go along as well. Shall we commit our time together to the Lord as we open in prayer? Shall we pray? So, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we're able to praise you. Thank you for the beauty of your creation, for each of these new lambs that have been born. But most of all, we thank you because of the Lamb of God, your Son. We too can be made new in you. We just pray for all our friends that aren't able to be here with us this morning, who would love to be, we know, and just be with them and have a special blessing for them. And just bless our time together now, we pray. Be with Alan and Jackie as they minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you for your welcome. And we will make a song and dance about people who come late. We won't let them sneak in. We will. Actually, Jackie, my watch is a railway watch. It's a driver's watch, actually. I'll not tell you how I got it, but we are in church, so I will confess it belongs. It's what are issued to the railway drivers. Accurate to the second, but not to the hour. So it's still 9:30 just gone online. So depending if it goes on and on and on a bit longer this morning, we'll know which clock I'm using, that one or my one. However, the clicker is working. Tell me the oracles of Jesus and his love. 6 to 8. Thank you. If you have a Bible with you, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 20, but just now we're going to read Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to read the same passage that Sarah read for us last Sunday morning, the story of the rich young man, Matthew's Gospel chapter 19, starting to read at verse 16. The story of the rich young ruler, the rich young man, it says in the Bible. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. Jesus replied, "Well, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honour your father and mother, and love your neighbour as yourself." "All these I've kept," the young man said. What's still lacking? What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the little eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him. He said, "Well, we've left everything to follow you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, at a future day, Peter, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who've left everything, I'll tell you what will be for you. You who have followed me, you will sit on my 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or children, or property for my sake, will receive 100 times as much, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Amen. That's just a little background to where we're going today in Matthew chapter 20. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you this Lord's Day morning that we've found assembled in this your house. It's probably a different hour in one sense, and yet it's the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we are glad to be together with your people on this your day, and we're able to sing about the old story of Jesus and his love. And we thank you that Jesus loves us. This we know because the Bible tells us so. We thank you for that statement of biblical truth and theology, which even the children can understand, the Sunday school class can understand, that Jesus loves us. And we thank you for that knowledge this morning, that we are loved, we are the beloved of God. So we thank you for your love to us, your kindness, your loving kindness to us, the fact that your hand is upon us day by day. And Lord, as we come and worship you this morning, we confess that we've not been we've not lived the life that we should have lived, the Christian life. Perhaps we've failed in many ways, even this past week and since last we met. But we thank you that there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus, that his blood can make the foulest clean. And we thank you for salvation's blessing. And it's with that in view that we know that we have repented of our sins and confessed our sins and asked the Lord Jesus to be our Saviour, so we're able to pray for others too and share the good news that Jesus loves them as well, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can and will be saved. So we pray, we thank you for the notices that we've heard even this morning as well. For those who aren't very well today, we pray your blessing upon them and your healing hand as well, according to your will. troubled situations, troubled places around the world. We think of the tornado in across the water there, and the loss of life there, and loss of everything really. A village wiped out, properties just destroyed, and we just see the pictures on the television. But we lovingly commit and commend the rescue services and all that's happening over there. And that's just one place. There's other areas too where there's difficulties and tensions, even wars and difficulties. And we pray the Prince of Peace to reign supreme in those difficult situations. So, Lord, we thank you for one another. Pray your continued blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. 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 So our next hymn, 473 in the book, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank you, and so we're going to continue reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, and our portion today, the first 16 verses of Matthew, chapter 20. How was the Isle of Man, Jim, while they're finding?
Yes, it was excellent.
Excellent. Do they really have three legs?
No.
Three arms. That's people from Como. No. Sorry, no. And webbed feet. No. And is it your show on Wednesday of this week? Or Wednesday of this week, yeah. At the Plough, 7:30. Look, we're only stalling for time while you find Matthew chapter 20. That's the Plough, 7:30. And have some fun. There we are. The mind boggles. We've got it there, Matthew chapter 20 and the first 16 verses. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. Early in the morning, it was 6 o'clock, it was a 12-hour day, it started at 6. So he went out at early in the morning, 6 o'clock, to find some men to work in his vineyard. It was harvest time. And he agreed to pay them a denarius, that is a day's pay. It was a normal accepted day's wage. All right, so it was a good deal. And he said, I'll pay you for a day's work. And he sent them off to work in his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out again and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He said, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever's right. I'll give you whatever portion of the day. So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour, and then the ninth hour, and did exactly the same thing. And then about the eleventh hour of this 12-hour day, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? They answered, well, no one's hired us. That's why, no one's hired us. He said, well, you also go and work in the vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the workers and give them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, those who've just done 1 hour, and going on to the first who've done 12 hours. Give them the full, pay them all. The workers who were hired, verse 9, about the 11th hour, they came and each received a full day's wage, a denarius. They've only worked 1 hour. So when those came who were hired first, who'd done 12 hours, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour. And you have made them equal to us who've worked 12 hours. We've borne the burden of the work. We've done the toil, the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, my friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a day's wage? Take your pay, go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? Or are you jealous, envious, because I am a generous employer? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Amen. We pray God's blessing upon his word. And before we look at that passage together, the hymn 379, Jesus shall reign, wherever it's five verses, Jesus shall reign, where'er the sun does his successive journeys run. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, please be seated. I was just checking on my last hymn as well. I don't know why I picked that last hymn. I think I made a mistake. I don't know which one I did want, but please be seated. My mistake. I don't know. It's an Easter hymn, but it's a good one. Yes, we're still going to have it. We're still going to have it. But I was just checking. And it's, yeah. So, as Harold Wilson said to the Pope, no one is infallible. Oh, sorry, Pope. We have. It was very high. Well, you shouldn't have had that extra piece of toast, should you? And then you'd be able to hit those high notes. Well, listen, let's look at Matthew chapter 20. And, well, originally, you know, the Bible was just written. It was just each book, the 66 books, which make the book of the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, and each book was actually just written. It just, if you were to say, now there is a verse in John's Gospel that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." How would you work out where it was? You can answer back if you want. John 3:16. But originally it was just written. There was no three in it. It wasn't in chapters or verses. And so you'd have to go right through to find and read through to where... I mean, I said an obvious verse, John 3:16. So... Well, it was in 1227, actually, the Archbishop of Canterbury, a man called Stephen Langton, not Langdon like Piers, but Langton, the Archbishop of Canterbury, he decided that it would be a good idea to divide the Bible up into chapters for ease of locating particular places, particular phrases. And so he divided it all up. As I said, 1227, that's when that happened. And then a bit later, well, 1555 actually, another man called Robert Estienne, I think he must have been a French man, it sounds French, doesn't it, Estienne? Robert Estienne, he said, well, let's divide these chapters into verses. And that's how now we know John 3, verse 16. We can follow on and we know exactly where we are. It helps us get around. And I'm going to quote now. Overall, the chapter and verse divisions are very helpful. Oh, they're extremely helpful, aren't they? Very helpful. However, a quote, however, in a few places, chapter breaks, where a chapter divides, chapter breaks are poorly placed. And as a result, divide content that should flow together. They've been put in the wrong place. And the division between chapter 19 of Matthew and chapter 20 is one such example. There should never be a division because chapter 20 flows from chapter 19. The story of the workers in the vineyard flows naturally from the story of the rich young man. In fact, in the Bible, it starts in chapter 20 and verse 1, it starts, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." It's a word that means another thing, another story, furthermore. Do you know, I was talking to Graham this week. Graham likes to be mentioned in services. And... I didn't really. Well, I did meet him, but I will tell you a story about a normal man and wife. And you see, and when Graham has words, when Linda has words with Graham, you see, you can have words, and you can go off to work. And come back at tea time after you've done a day's work, and she will say, "And another thing, furthermore, what's more?" No, he said, 3 days later, she's still pecking. No. Sorry. And that's what this word means, Jesus has just told the story of the rich young ruler when he said, first shall be last and last shall be first. And then he says, furthermore, let me tell you another story. Let me tell you something else about this rich, about the workers in the vineyard. The rich young ruler had been looking at last week, and it was the cost of the following Jesus, of leaving all, and it proved too much for him, didn't it, last week? You remember, the rich young ruler, that's why we read it again. It said he went away sad. He went away sad. So Peter then asks the question. He says, we've given up everything. We've paid the price. We've given up everything to follow you, Jesus. So my question is, chapter 19 and verse 27, what's in it for us? What's my reward? What am I going to get? How am I going to be rewarded for following you, for giving up everything? The rich young ruler, he didn't pay the cost. He went. But we have paid the cost. What's in it for us? And that's the setting of chapter 20. That's the background to our new story. The rich young ruler, his problem... his problem wasn't that he possessed wealth. His problem was that his wealth possessed him. That's all he was concerned about. He trusted his money, not God. Now, to just give a little more context, that Jewish society back then saw wealth as a sign of God's approval. That if you were rich, that proves that God had favoured you. That God had accepted you. You know, God has blessed me because I'm rich. He's not blessed you because you're poor. But he's blessed me. God has blessed me because I'm healthy. He's not blessed you because you're poorly. Health and wealth, it was around then. Now, to that way of thinking, it seemed it seemed quite a strange way when Jesus said, I tell you, it's easier for a camel, big animal, to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. It reversed their way of thinking. They were thinking, I'm rich, so I'm bound to get in. God's blessing me. Jesus says, oh no, first shall be last. He reverses completely. What you think is going to be first in the queue, you're going to be at the back of the queue. And those at the back of the queue, they're going to be dealt with first. So when Jesus promised in verse 21, treasure in heaven, Peter said, what's in it for me? And Jesus said, you're going to get some treasure. You're going to be rewarded. There's going to be a future reward. And that's when Peter blurted out, tell us, what's in it for us? Jesus doesn't rebuke him for asking. That's not a selfish question. Jesus doesn't say, you're asking the wrong question, Peter. In fact, many times in the Bible, we have promises of a future reward. Did you know that? We get promises of a future reward in the parables and in the teachings. Let me give you a few. Have we got Bibles here today, or do you want me to read them all? One or two have got Bibles. Well, the first one is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, rejoice when you are persecuted. Be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. We're so grateful for the Archbishop of Canterbury for giving us chapter 5 and for Robert Estienne for giving us verse 12 for these chapters. This is better than John 3:16. It helps us to look around the pages. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 12, rejoice when you are persecuted, because great is your reward. Chapter 6 and verse 20 speaks of storing up treasure. Sorry, I've asked you to look in your Bibles and I'm reading. Chapter 6 verse 20 speaks about treasure, reward in heaven. Let me give you one, someone to shout out. Chapter 10 and verse 42. Chapter 10 and verse 42. Someone like to read that one out. 10:42. We got it?
Sorry,
thank you. If you give a cup of cold water to someone, you will not lose your reward. There's going to be a reward, okay? Now, you're not going to get a cup of cold water. You're going to get a cup of hot water and a biscuit. Because I've seen it. It's in there at the end. He goes on in chapter 24, verse 45, speaking about the master rewarding his faithful servant. I'll just read these now, but you've got the idea already that we're talking about a reward for faithful service. Chapter 24, verse 45, the returning master rewards his faithful servants. Chapter 25 and verse 20, there's the parable of the talents. The one who had two talents was rewarded by another two. The one who was given five talents is rewarded by giving another five. The one who has ten talents is rewarded by giving an extra ten. There will be rewards. One final verse that I'd like someone to read out. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. I've got it written down, but I'd like someone to shout it out if you found it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. You're going to be rewarded for coming to church this morning. Did you know that? You're seeking God, earnestly seeking God, I hope. And what Faith just read for us, Hebrews 11 verse 6, God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Those who come. And if I can be so bold, I shouldn't really add to scripture, I think you're going to be doubly rewarded for getting up an hour earlier as well this morning. For coming, you're going to be rewarded for being here in church. We didn't have much time last week to, we had our sermon last week, but what is that reward? Well, you need a cleverer preacher than me to speak about what the reward is, but it's written there for us in Matthew 19. It says, verse 28, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man, Jesus, sits on his throne, you who have followed me, you'll get your reward. You will sit on the 12 thrones with me. Everyone who has left houses and people and property will receive much more, 100 times more than they've lost. Why? Because verse 30, many who will be first will be last. And those who are last, they will be first. They will be first. Complete reversal. Those who look like winners are often losers, and those who look like losers are very often the winners. And those losers won't be losers when Jesus comes back, because you'll sit with him. As I say, you need a cleverer preacher than me to explain all this future millennial throne it's talking about, which is a phrase that confuses. Nobody knows what they're talking about, but it's going to be great. It's going to be, it's vague, but it's gloriously vague. It's going to be a wonderful time. You're going to be rewarded. Trust me, the Bible says. So when Peter says, what's in it for us? It's been answered. More than you can imagine. 100 times more than you can imagine, Peter. For getting up this morning, you're going to be, it might have been an effort, but you're going to be rewarded much, much more. It might be a problem when you get back home and you're criticised or whatever, I don't know. But it's going to be worth it. At the end of the day, great, your reward will be in heaven. So Peter, by asking what's in it for me, you're asking a commercial question. You're missing the point, really. The Christian life is not something to barter on. It's not, you know, I'll come to church if I win the lottery. I'll pray to you if I could only win the lottery. I'll come to church, I'll do good. If only I could get rid of this pain, this disease that I've got. If only I could recover from this illness, then I'll trust you. What can I get out of it? That's not... It's this attitude that Peter addresses, that Jesus addresses in our parable today. That's why I've spent the time to give you the background. It's in answering that, what's in it for me, that Jesus gives chapter 20. the parable that we're going to look at now, a bit quicker, I might add, but the parable that we're going to look at today in Matthew chapter 20 was so true to life. This is what would have happened, really happened. The background is absolutely right. The type of employment, well, verse 1 says the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. That's what would happen. There was no contracts of employment. The landowner would just go out, he'd see the men 6 o'clock in the early in the morning, the start of the day, and he would say, right, I want 6 men, you come, and I want you to work in my, and I'll pay you a day's wage, you'll get paid. Seasonal work, contract work, if you like. It was harvest time. And the type of employment, the terms of employment. Well, verse 2 tells us, I'll pay you a penny a day, a denarius a day. I'll pay you a proper day's wage. That's the terms. It wasn't big bucks, but it was a day's wage. It was a fair day's wage. I think that's probably, it was a fair wage. The type of employment, labouring, the terms, proper day's pay. What about the times? Well, verses 3 and 7, we slowly read it through, but some started early. Verse 1 says they started early. That was 6 o'clock in the morning, right through to 6 o'clock at night. Then, verse 3, he went out, the landowner, on the third hour. So let's work out what that is. What's the third hour? 9 o'clock. Just to see if he was still awake. 9 o'clock. He went out, verse 5, at the sixth hour. So that was noon. Middle of the day. He went out again. And again on the ninth hour. So that would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then in verse 6, he went out at the 11th hour, which was 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. I don't know if that's good theology or good maths. You can add up. So some had done 12-hour day, some had done a 9-hour day, some had done a 6-hour day, some had done a 3-hour day, and some had done a 1-hour day. That's the times. What about the tensions? The tensions. The tensions are summarized in verse 11, because it says, when they received it, they began to grumble. There was tension when it came to payday. Those who had worked all day began to grumble. Jeff sent out the title and what he wanted to in December, actually. And so I started to look in December, but it's the same today in March. There are grumbles and tensions in the workforce. There's railway strikes. There's NHS strikes. There's post office strikes. There's teachers going on. There's airport staff going on. There's grumbling in employee-employer relationships. I'm not saying that it's wrong to go on strike, and I'm not saying don't go on strike. That's not the point of what he's saying. What he's saying, that this is true to life, isn't it? People grumble about wages. But verse 2 tells us they agreed. He agreed to pay them a day's wage. They agreed. The terms were agreed. They were agreed on it. Someone said, well, on the news, was it a fortnight ago, they were talking about industrial, I don't know if it was a teacher or an NHS worker, and they said, you know, we've not had a pay rise for 2 years. I forget who it was, but they'd not had a pay rise for 2 years. And they were going on strike. They were junior doctors, I think it was. I can say that because Sarah's not here today. But it was she won't throw anything out. But they were, we've not had a pay rise for 2 years. Listen, they agreed that morning in Matthew chapter 20. It wasn't a two-year gap. It was that same day they agreed. They agreed that same day. And then they started complaining. The workers who were hired, verse 9, about the 11th hour came and they received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, who'd done 12 hours, they expected to receive more. But each one of them received also a day's wage. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Well, when they saw they just worked an hour, and they got a full day's wage. If you were back of the queue, you'd think, wow, it's bonus time now. There's going to be a Christmas. We're going to do well now, boys. If they're getting paid, wow. And the answer came in verse 13. Friend, I'm not being unfair. Didn't you agree to work for a day's wage? Take your wage and go. I want to give this man who was hired last the same as I give you. Do I have the right? Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my own money? I have the right. Because he says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Exactly the same as we finished the rich young ruler. The first shall be last. That's why these two stories follow on. That's the point of them both. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. But it's a parable, and a parable, we learn in Sunday school, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And the landowner is God. The landowner, Jesus. The landowner, the master. The master is always on the lookout for people to work for him. He's always on the lookout for missionaries, if you like, for people to work for Jesus. And at various hours of life's day, we can begin to work for him. Some start at they're converted in Sunday school. We thank God for those who've been brought up in a Christian home, and as young children, boys and girls, they give their heart and life to Jesus. For godly parents who pray with them and read the Bible and lead them to Christ. And they work in the toilet all their life. Missionaries for 12 hours, if you, they do a 12-hour shift, as it were. Some come at the third hour, early in, perhaps, for example, we could say, the young wives group that some churches have, and they come along, and a toddlers group, and come along, and they hear the gospel being preached, and they come, and they're in their 20s now, they're young mums, and they've not been Christian since they were since they crossed the line as children, but they've put in a good shift. Some perhaps retire early, and so it's, well, the clock's ticking now, perhaps it's noon or 3 o'clock in the in life's journey, in life's calendar, if you like. Perhaps come along to church to because the grandchildren are doing something, and sorry about that if that comes through on, if anybody's listening on the tape, but it's just when people begin to catch up on that hours that they've lost this morning. But they come along to hear the children, the grandchildren in Sunday school, doing Sunday school anniversary. And they hear the gospel and they get converted. And the clock is ticking, humanly speaking. Some at the 11th hour, right at the last minute. The thief on the cross, he was converted at the very last hour, literally the last hour of his life. He didn't have much time to work, did he? For Jesus in that sense. And yet, today you will be with me in paradise, said Jesus. I once preached a sermon on, or an illustration really, about my dad actually. He died in 94. And my father was not a churchman at all. Well, he'd been brought up to it, but he wasn't a bad man at all, but he wasn't a Christian. And he lived his life, and then he took cancer. He was a coal miner. He got bronchial, smoked heavily all his life. He got bronchial cancer. And we knew he was dying. It took him... it was in the May, was it, his diagnosis? Anyway, he died in the October. It was 6 or 7 months. He was losing a stone a month. His face was, his teeth were too big for his face. He was wasting away. He was but not a Christian. And Jackie said, you'd better go up and tell him about Jesus. You'd better go up, and time's running out. And so I went on the train up to Barnsley, to home, to tell. And you might think, well, that's, you stand up in a pulpit and preach. But I tell you, you try one-on-one with your own parent, with a relation. I tell you, it's very difficult, isn't it? It's very difficult to try and witness to somebody. And I actually bottled it. I didn't. He was dying. The bed was downstairs. He couldn't do the stairs. I had to shave him. So much skin, I had to shave him, and I couldn't tell him. And I came home, and Jackie, well, what happened? You know what happened? I said, well, I bottled it. She said, get back up there next week. So the following Saturday, I went up again. This time, he was in the hospice in Sheffield, and there he was. There was just me and him, and the curtain was drawn round, and I said, I didn't say you need to look at John 3:16. I didn't lose the chapter and verse. All I said was, Dad, it's time to make friends with God. That's all I said. I didn't show him the Greek of it or the Hebrew of it or the chapter and the verse of it. I just said, it's time to make... He said, I think it is. He said, I think it is. His lips started going. What's the word? A very tender moment. That was on the... He died 2 days later. I took his funeral. And the church was filled, wasn't it? And spoke about how he'd come. The 11th, like that thief on the cross, gave his... And I was speaking in a church, in our own church, actually, back in Bristol. And I got a friend who goes to football. He's a big Bristol City supporter. But I... the man who gets the free tickets... Works on, there you are, time to go home. Look, somebody just woke up. I'll carry on with the story. Now I mentioned Bristol City, look. If he's not banging the microphone, he's getting the... He works on the railway, the man who gets the free tickets. And so I had to sign his probate form when his mum died. So he says, if ever you want to go, well, I don't want to go watch Bristol City, but my friend Bob does. Anyway, Bob is in the same... He's from Brixham. It's Bob. And he said, you know, Alan, he said, my dad's just... But that sermon you've just given, he said, my dad... He said, a good man, but he sent us to some... Me and my sister sent to Sunday school and all this. But he said, he's not a Christian. It'd be very difficult to speak to him. But, you know, he took the bull by the horns. He said, I used the exact same phrase. I went down and I said, Dad, it's time to make friends with God. And he said, you know, Dad said, it is, I think, Bob. And he said he was able to pray with his dad and lead him to Christ. Why am I telling you this? The 11th hour, that's right, the last minute. You know, some have worked, some have been Christians all their lives, 12 hours they've put in a full shift for Jesus. Some later on in life at various stages, middle age, and even at deathbed, conversions, all at different times. But what do we learn? What do we learn? We learn that God is just. Verse 1 says, it was agreed. We learn each will receive what's agreed, what is just due recompense. We'll be rewarded accordingly. We learn that God is sovereign. Verse 15, he said, this is my money. This is my vineyard. It's not for you, Peter, to question me, or workers to question me. God, we don't see the full picture. We don't see why some have to wait, as it were, till the 11th. God is just, God is sovereign, and God's grace we learn as well. You see, why are the first last and the last first? I tell you why, because of God's goodness and God's grace, God's undeserved favour. God chooses the unworthy, the undeserving, and verse 15, in his generosity, gives grace. He said, It's all because I'm a generous landowner. I give to all who repent and receive, says the Lord. And listen, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labour, your work, is not in vain. Well, the parable of the workers. I'm sorry, we've had a couple of made us jump once or twice, but I just pray these stumbling, perhaps inadequate words might nonetheless resonate with us, and we know that God is just, God is sovereign, and God's grace. We'll sing that hymn now, number 689. I'm fairly positive it was the one I'd written down, but it wasn't the one that I should have written down. I probably can't read my own writing. But nonetheless, thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son, endless is the victory thou or death hast won. 689, and it's 3 verses long. So I say unto you, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Lord, we labour not seeking reward in that sense, but we thank you that we have been reminded that there is a reward in serving you, a glorious reward, a future reward, to sit with you on the throne of God itself. And we thank you, we anticipate, we look forward to that day. But for now, we're here labouring in the vineyard, and we pray that we might be faithful stewards of that which you've entrusted to us. And whether we've been working 12 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours, 6, or it's the end of our working life for you as in that sense, we pray that we might receive that well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the end of the day. And it's to this end we pray the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to rest, remain, abide with us each one, now and always. Amen.